Welcome to the sermons of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Fort Capel, Saskatchewan. We pray that this may be a blessing to you and that the Word of God would dwell richly in your hearts.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening, we continue our study of the Gospel Canticles. Tonight, we will look at the Benedictus, the song of St. Zacharias, the father of St. John the Baptist, the forerunner. Like the song of the Blessed Virgin, this song also deals with anticipation and fulfillment. However, there's a big difference. While Mary, in humility, believed the word of God that the angel Gabriel spoke to her, Zacharias did not. He was a priest, a member of the house of Levi, descended from the line of Aaron, yet he had no heir. His wife was barren, and he and Elizabeth were advanced in age. But one day, while Zacharias was in the temple making the offering of incense, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and said, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." And although the angel appeared to him in the temple at the hour of sacrifice and prayer, although he carried the word of God to him, he did not believe. He asked for proof. Unlike Mary, who believed and asked how it would happen, Zacharias doubted and, like Gideon, asked, "How will I know these things will happen?" And so Gabriel said, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you to bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be made mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Because of his sin and unbelief, you struck mute. He who is used to singing the praises of God in the temple courts, to reciting the Torah, to giving the blessing of Aaron, could no longer do this. His mouth was shut and his tongue bound as fast as if with chains. In a similar way, our own sins likewise close our mouths. The sinful nature does not want to praise God or speak his word or tell others about what he has done for us. Indeed, without faith in God, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and being dead can by no means speak. But behold, when John is born and is named thus by Elizabeth, Zacharias is given the opportunity to show his belief in the word spoken to him by the angel. As had all had come to pass, as what Gabriel had said, his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he sings in the spirit. He sings a song inspired by God, a prophetic song which talks about God's saving acts that he will soon accomplish and the role that his own son will soon play in these, according to God's decree. Likewise, through the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, through faith in him, we are raised to new life, and our mouths are opened, our tongues are loosed, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. How appropriate it is that we open our daily praises, singing, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." For in forgiving our sins, he frees us and looses our tongues that we may praise him and tell everyone what he has done, as Zacharias does here. Once again, in this song, we see, as I said, anticipation and fulfillment. So to keep this theme in order, we'll first look at the latter half of his song, where he addresses his child. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." with clarity, which can only come by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, Zacharias sings of John's role as forerunner, the Messiah. As Elijah, the prophet, sent before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, who will turn the hearts of children to their fathers and fathers to their children, the messenger who will prepare the way of the Lord. He is the forerunner, the one who goes ahead of the Lord, heralding his coming, preparing his way that all may be ready for him. And even his name shows this. As we read, there was no one among their relatives by this name. It was therefore a strange choice to the rest of the family. Doubtless, Zacharias had communicated this to his wife by means of signs or writing it down or some such thing, that John was the angel which Gabriel... John was the name which the angel Gabriel had given him to name his son. And what does the name mean? John, or in Hebrew, Yohanan, means the Lord is gracious. By his very name, John proclaims the grace of God to the people, which is fully seen in the coming Messiah, the Son of God made flesh. Thus, John is to be a prophet of the highest, going before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. And how does he do this? By giving knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of God. John was sent to preach repentance and therefore prepare the hearts of the people to receive the coming Lord. He would level the mountains of pride by the preaching of repentance and raise those humbled over their sin by the good news of the remission of sins and the salvation which comes through it. He preached repentance that the people may be delivered from the wrath to be revealed, wrath that sinners have justly earned for themselves by their actions. But according to God's tender mercy, he has sent his Son into the flesh in order that by his saving work upon the cross, dying for our sins, we may be forgiven through faith in him. So John would preach repentance. He would break the stony hearts with the hammer of the law of God into pieces, showing all their errors and declaring to them the just punishment for their deeds. And when hearts were pricked and sore and flesh showed under the stone, when men and women were sorrowful over what they had done, then John would give knowledge of salvation to these people by the remission of their sins. Not because of their repentance or as if they had earned that forgiveness by doing a certain act or by being contrite enough, but through the tender mercy of our God, through his grace, through his loving kindness, his compassion for us, his fallen creatures, that we might be raised from the ash heap of destruction and the prison house of death in order to live forever in purity with him in his kingdom. For this reason, John the Baptist is so prominent in Advent. For Advent is a season of repentance and anticipation. Truly every day should be a day of repentance and faith, but in Advent we give particular focus to repentance. We examine ourselves more closely. Through the preaching and hearing of the Word of God, we prepare our hearts for his coming among us, both in word and sacrament and at the end of the age. We prepare the way of the Lord through turning our hearts towards him, through turning away from our sin and from our own plans and ideas towards him who holds forth for us the knowledge of salvation through the remission of sins by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. He calls us to abandon false hope and idols, to cease trusting in ourselves, in others, in money, in security, in technology which cannot save, and instead trust in him who through his tender mercy freely saves us, promises security and rest, peace and joy through Jesus Christ, and who can and will deliver it. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Just as Mary in her song had a sure faith in God's salvation, so too, strengthened by the Spirit in his heart, Zacharias proclaims a firm and certain faith. See how he speaks of God's salvation. See how when he speaks in the past tense, just as Mary had. He has visited and redeemed his people, has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, etc. Zacharias was once full of doubt and unbelief. He was tossed to and fro like a rudderless ship in a storm. But now he is firm in his belief and faith in God's word and promise. He trusts that as God spoke, so it will be. His words are sure and firm and endure forever. Though the grass wither and flower fade, even though heaven and earth pass away, the word of God remains sure and true. Zacharias expresses this in his song. And we might be tempted to think that he's simply referring to the fact that in the womb of his guest Mary, God was at that time visiting him. For he is there as an unborn child through the person of his son who took on flesh from the Virgin Mary and was there both growing in respect to his humanity, but also reigning with respect to his divinity. But this is not exactly what he's speaking about. For he says he has visited and redeemed his people. This redemption had not yet taken place, and it would not for another 30 years, give or take. Still, Zacharias is sure of it. He is so sure that he speaks about it in the past tense, in the perfect and complete. Already old and advanced in years, it's unlikely that Zacharias himself would see this redemption with his own eyes. Yet, with the eyes of faith, he sees it clearly and believes it. He holds on to it with joy and hope. He praises God for that work of salvation and redemption that he himself will accomplish on the cross. Though the one of whom he sings is still in the womb, Zacharias praises him as a horn of salvation, a source of strength, a sure and certain bulwark in which we can find safety and security from the threatening peril of our sins. He sings of how God is fulfilling his promises that he made of old, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. From the days of Adam, God had promised salvation, that we should be saved from the hand of our enemies, and the hand of all who hate us, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. For God had promised Adam and Eve that he would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the serpent, and that this promised seed would crush the head of the serpent, of Satan, along with sin, which Satan introduced into the world, and death, sin's wages. These are the great enemies that threaten all people, tribes, nations, and languages. These enemies are far greater than any political enemy. The devil's hate for mankind is far greater than we can think. That God should take on human flesh to redeem humans. Though all the world be against us and threatening us, they would all pale in comparison to our enemies of sin, death, the devil, and the fires of hell, which daily threaten all humanity as a dark veil spread over all peoples. To Abraham, God promised that in his seed all the nations of the world would be blessed, and indeed they would be blessed. Because in his promised seed, in Christ Jesus, all peoples find freedom from sin, death, and the devil through his self-offering for them. All who believe in him, who trust in him, receive this forgiveness of sins and thus are rescued from those terrible enemies, who, though they may rage against us, will not have the final victory so long as we are in Christ. He also sings of the day spring from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This, of course, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man in one person, the Lord, whose way John the Baptist will prepare. for he himself is the Son of Righteousness that Malachi speaks of in our first reading, who shall arise with healing in his wings for all of those who fear the name of the Lord, who trust in him for their redemption. He comes to dispel the darkness of sin and death by his dying for our sin and rising from his own death for our justification. He comes, the light of the world, to show us how far our sin extends, that we are utterly unable to save ourselves. But he does this so that repenting of our sins and trusting in him, we might be brought into the way of peace, true peace, peace with God because our sins are forgiven. And this is the way that leads to peace, leads to everlasting life in his presence forevermore. And just as the church daily sings the song of Mary in the evening, so too the church daily sings the song of Zacharias in the morning. As the day dawns, she takes up his song, praising and blessing God for visiting and redeeming his people, for fulfilling his promises to Abraham and David and all Israel, for rescuing us from our enemies of sin, death, and the devil. As the sun rises, we praise Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the dayspring from on high, who enlightens our hearts and minds, who fills us with his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace and tender mercy, we might live with him in that eternal day which will never end in the new creation, where all is renewed and sin and death are no more. This is the telos, the end and goal of creation. And because of this, all history is centered on Christ Jesus. It is either all leading up to him, to his incarnation and saving work, or it's following it. Throughout all of her history, Israel had pointed forward to the coming Messiah, to the divine Savior who would suddenly appear in his temple to rescue his people, who would bear their griefs and carry their sorrows, be wounded for their transgressions, bruised for their iniquities, and bring peace with God by his chastisement and healing from sin and death by his stripes. She proclaimed him who, though riding on the clouds like God, would also be one like the Son of Man, who would reign forever over an everlasting kingdom that covered all of the earth. As John did for Israel in preparing the way of the Lord, so Israel did for the world, preparing his way and proclaiming his coming to all nations. Now the church, the body of Christ, the true spiritual Israel of God, continues this pattern. Like John the Baptist pointing to Christ, to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, so the church points back to Christ, back to his saving work on our behalf. She proclaims all that he has done to save us by his incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection. She proclaims his salvation from our enemies of sin, death, and hell by the forgiveness of sins by grace through faith in him. She cries out, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, buy wine and milk without money and without price." She tells the world of the free salvation we have in Christ, which we could never earn nor pay for, which God has provided through the costly death of his Son for us. She proclaims that he is not far off, but that he is near, never leaving nor forsaking us, but with us always, even to the ends of the age, through his word and sacrament. For he works through these as through means to create and sustain faith, to encourage us, to build us up, and to ready us for his coming. For she also proclaims that he who came in humility and lowliness, and he who comes among us now hidden, will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead at the end. Such news is terror to the unbelieving, for the works that they did in darkness will be exposed by his light. But the same message is comfort for those who trust in him, who believe with firm faith. For he has died for you, and he daily and richly forgives your sins and the sins of all who trust in him. He is coming to put away sin and evil forever, that we may live with him in eternal day. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent his Son to take on our flesh for us, to live for us, to die for us, to rise again for us. Yes, he has visited and redeemed us and continues to visit us in his word and sacrament. Indeed, he will also visit and redeem his people once more in the flesh. He will come at the end. He will rend the heavens wide and come. He will rescue us from our death. At a word, he will raise up all who sleep the sleep of death and change those who live at that time to be like him. That is, utterly and forever dead to sin and alive to God, so that no more death has dominion over them. This he promises to all who trust in him, who believe in him. And just as he fulfilled his promises before, and as he continues to do so now, so he shall again. May God grant us all that we continue in steadfast faith until he comes again to visit and redeem us through the merits and mediations of the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.